Good. Before we start, I want to welcome everybody for the beginning of the series. And I want to thank Jay and Torah in Motion for setting up. We don't have too many people with cameras, other than Jay and Ilana. People are pretty much embarrassed, I guess, to have a camera on. Today's topic is real simple, a nice simple one. We're going to discuss the topic of probably the most important pasuk in davening in Tefillah. Actually, I'm going to take a little poll here. If someone asked you, what's the most important pasuk that we say in davening, what would you answer? We'll see if the chat thing works. You can write English. You can write Hebrew words in English. But if you had to pick, if there's like an important line in davening that we say every day, what would you choose to be one of the most important? Okay, Larry got the Shema. Someone wanted to chat that? There we go. I'm sure everyone's asked 99 people, and all of them will tell you Shema. So we're going to begin with the pasuk of Shema Yisrael, and because we're going from Chumash to the Siddur, that's our title of our series, we're going to try and figure out what this pasuk is all about. So I'm going to translate it. And as I'm translating it, we're going to ask a couple questions. Shema Yisrael means Hero Israel. To appreciate why that word is in Chumash, we'll have to see later inside Chumash itself. Do we say Hashem Elokeinu? Hashem is our God. Hashem Echad. Hashem is the one God. Now, excluding the opening phrase of Shema Yisrael, which is sort of a wake up, if I want to take the second half of the sentence, we say Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem is our God. Hashem Echad. Hashem is one God. I want to know if you understand that as one statement or two statements. One more person joining now. Welcome to Ray. And Ray Rubin just came in. I'm gonna ask my opening question again. When we say Shema, we say Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem is our God, and then we say Hashem Echad, Hashem is one God. I want everyone either to say if they understand that this is one statement or two statements. So throw in the chat, or you can speak if you want. Chat's probably better. Tell me if you understand that as one or two. Okay, at least it says two. Okay, Larry got one. So for 50. Anna, two. Okay. Larry's trying to speak. Okay, Larry, you got to probably hold the transmit button when you want to speak. Okay, anybody else want to vote? Remember, we're asking if, when we say Shema, is it one statement or two? Yeah, go ahead, Ronnie.
One statement.
You say one or two?
One.
One, okay. Okay, Rachel says two. And anybody else want to vote? Okay. 50-50. Now, someone who said two, let me explain the two statements, and then we'll ask someone to explain why there's one. If it's two statements, one statement is Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem is our God. And our God is sort of like, we got the right one. And Hashem Echad means he's the one God and the only God. And each statement, I think, makes a lot of sense. Hashem Elokeinu, He chose us, and Hashem Echad is the one God. Now, who said that? Ronit, since you can talk, explain what you mean by one statement instead of two.
If it were two statements, my concern is that our God happens to be one, but then again, they're all the other gods. And so I prefer the understanding that it's one statement. Our God is one God, is the God.
What Ronit?
The one and only.
Okay, thank you. But I want to summarize what Ronit was saying. And she seems to say that even though it sounds like two statements, the two statements seem to contradict each other. Because if we say Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem is our God, that seems to preclude that seems to assume that there are other gods with other people, and therefore we have our God, they have their God, and there wouldn't be one God. And once we say Hashem Echad, we say he's the only God. So if he's the only God, how come he's our God and not anybody else's God? So Ronit wants somehow to claim that it's really one statement, but the question, how are we going to put these two statements that seem to contradict each other together? Again, the contradiction being, if he's our God, then he's not everyone's God. When we say Hashem Echad, he's the only God. Rashi tries to solve the problem in a beautiful way. He adds a word into the statement. In his commentary on Sefer Zvarim, where he brings it in, he says, Hashem Shuhu Elokeinu. He has the word, Hashem who is our God, he's the only God. We're not making two statements, we're making one statement. Our statement is, Hashem is our God. But our God, the God who chose us, He happens to be the only God, not just our God. Let me ask you another question to help appreciate what the statement's about. What would you think is the main point, or actually, what did Chazal call this statement? There's another name they call this statement. How do they define what we're doing in this statement? You can either write it down or say it. I think it's even considered a mitzvah, but what are we doing, technically speaking, what are we doing by this statement? There's a little phrase that the Chazal use. Anyone want to type it in? I'll give you a hint, it's from Mukubalim. In a wider sense. Okay. Okay, Jay spilled the beans, so it's called Kabbalat Omachut Shamayim, or we're accepting upon ourselves the kingdom of heaven. Now other people usually say Shema Yisrael is a statement about monotheism. It's a statement of my belief in God. I'm sure we just got another person in the class, probably. I'm going to summarize for the two people who came in recently what we've done so far. We're beginning to try, the goal this year today is to understand the first pasuk of Chumash, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. I mean, the first pasuk, the most important pasuk in Chumash. And the question is, this a statement about monotheism? Are we proclaiming our belief in God? Or are we proclaiming what Chazal called Kabbalat Olam HaShemayim? Are we taking upon ourselves the yoke of heaven? And we'll try to explain what that means. Of these two statements, based on what we said so far, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, based on the statement of Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, does it seem more like it's a statement about monotheism or a statement about accepting His yoke upon us? Now, if I want to ask on the chat, what makes more sense? Does it sound like a statement of monotheism or does it sound like a statement about how we're serving God? Okay, Larry says monotheism. And? Anybody agree? Or disagree? Okay. Many of you probably heard that saying Shema Yisrael is our statement every day that we believe in one God. The question is, what's the main point of that statement? Is our belief in one God, or is our belief that, or is our statement that we're serving Him? Kabbalat Olam HaShemayim, mind that we're accepting upon ourselves the yoke of keeping the Torah. No one's chatting? There we go. Okay, Shat versus Rashi, you could call it that way. Which one is the pshat, though?
Monotheism is the pshat. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, I think, is the monotheism. The drash is the Kabbalat Olam HaShemayim, I would assume.
Okay, well, that's pretty much what we're going to talk about. Now, let's say, is there a mitzvah, is there a commandment to accept the Kabbalat Olam HaShemayim? Is that considered a commandment? Well, when we say Shema, we're fulfilling a commandment, aren't we? Pretty much. And there's another minhag that we have, that before we fulfill the commandment, we make a bracha. Before we shake lulav, we make a bracha. Before almost any mitzvah, we light candles, we make a bracha. But what's the reason for making a bracha before doing a mitzvah, in general? Not Kabbalistic, just real simple. What's the reason for making a bracha before doing any type of mitzvah? What's the function of the bracha in relation to the mitzvah? Anyone want to give it a try? Just put a little chat in. Okay? It's a type of appreciation. Appreciating about, okay? Or preparation for what we're about to do. In general, mitzvot are usually doing some type of action. But to make sure that the action that we're doing connects to the brain or the thought of the neshama that's about to do it, we sort of take a time out and to focus on what we're about to do. If that's the case, we should probably make a bracha. If that's the case, we should probably make a bracha before doing Kabbalat Olam HaShemayim. Now, do we make a bracha on Shema or not? Okay. As far as the commandment, there's a commandment in Shema. That's a good question, what's it based on? But there's a commandment in the Kabbalat Olam HaShemayim to accept upon yourself or to the kingdom of heaven. If you have a chance, we'll see that later in the Rambam. But in general, if Tein Shema is a mitzvah, what we should be doing is, we should, on a regular basis, before we say it, we should make a bracha beforehand. So tell me, do we make a bracha before we say Kriyat Shema or not? Okay. What's the answer? Jack, how many brachot do we make before Kriyat Shema? Anyone know how many? How many brachot do we say before saying Kriyat Shema, be it the morning or the evening? How many blessings do we make beforehand?
Two brachot, Yeter Or and Azar Abba.
Exactly. There's two brachot that we make. Everyone knows them. Yeter Me'orot and Azar Abba. What I want to show you, something really, really simple. It's so simple you probably shoot yourself for not realizing how simple it is. The two brachot are preparation for the two statements that we're about to make in Kriyat Shema. Now, I want you to put the two together. Which of the brachot, if we have these two statements, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, which of these two brachot is preparation for the statement that Hashem Echad, that there's only one God? Anyone want to give it a try?
The Or, because that one
easy.
Is more of a universal.
Yeah. Exactly. Yoter HaMorot talks about how God made the heavens and the earth. That's our preparation to understand that Hashem is one. And guess which bracha talked about Hashem Elokeinu? That's exactly going to be Avah Ravah. And makes, you see, I think it's, I'm not sure if anyone ever realized that before, but it's like the most simple thing there is. That before we say Shema, we're going to make two statements, we're going to make two blessings beforehand to focus on what we're about to do. The first thing we're about to do, we're going to say Hashem is our God, but we're going to say that Hashem is our God, He's the only God. So before we, what I'd like to answer the question about whether it's two statements or one, it's going to be sort of two statements that are one, but I think the main statement that we're making, the way Chazal understand it, is we're accepting upon ourselves the yoke of heaven, meaning the main statement is Hashem Elokeinu. He is our God in the sense that, not that He's our God to the exclusion of other people, He's our God in the sense that He's our boss. We're working for Him. We're serving Him and He's our boss. Now, if that's the case, before we say that statement, we have to also explain that who is this God who we're claiming is our boss? We say, this God who's our boss, He's the only God. Hashem Echad, He's the God who made heavens and earth. We're not saying we're worshipping, you might think there's a lot of gods. There's the sun God, the moon God, there's the cement God, there's the movie God, there's the nature God, the thunder God. There's all these different gods that people view. We believe that there's one God. And we're saying the God who's the God of creation, the God of heavens and earth, the God who's the only God, He's the God who chose us and wants us to work for Him. That's basically our boss who we're working for. And therefore, the second bracha is going to be Avah Ravah. And what's that going to talk about? That's simply going to talk about how God chose us and how and why He gave us the Torah to guide us in what we're supposed to do. So let me summarize real quick the main point of the shir that we're starting with. The main point is that our statement twice a day of Kabbalat HaMalchut Shamayim, of accepting God's yoke upon us, there's a twofold statement. One is that Hashem Elokeinu, we're accepting upon ourselves that He's our God. We'll get to the order in a minute. Right? We're accepting upon ourselves that He's our God, but then we're saying the God who's our God, He's the only God. Now, the most important statement is Hashem Elokeinu. But to appreciate the statement of Hashem Elokeinu, we have to assume monotheism. We're not making a statement of monotheism. We're assuming monotheism in our statement that of accepting His yoke upon us. Now, as far as the order is not going in as far as the importance. The statement is going to go in order of importance. The most important thing is that we're working for Him. The main purpose of our statement is working for Him. As preparation for our statement, first we have to explain who is this God that we're about to accept. And therefore, the first bracha is, who is God? He's the God who made everything. And then we say, this God who made everything, He chose us. For the same reason, the Sefer Bereshit comes before Sefer Shemot. Or that Parshat Bereshit comes before Parshat Lech Lecha. First we have to know who God is, and then we have to say that He chose us. So as far as the order of the brachot, which by the way, La Halakha doesn't make a difference. La Halakha, you can go in any order. It'll be, if you have it, you can say Avah Ravah before Shema, beforehand, before Yoter Me'orot. But the order that we do is first we explain who God is. That's the first bracha of Yoter Me'orot. And then we explain the Gatzotah. And those are preparation for saying Shema. One thing I want to show you now is why it's so clear that Hashem Elokeinu is referring to Hashem Shu Elokeinu, the God who made the God who chose us, and how that gets Tavar Rabbah. What we're going to do now is we're going to take a look at two sources in Chumash that explain what's going on. The phrase Hashem Elokeinu is from Sefer Zohar. I'm going to try to put up a screen, so we'll see Chumash nice and easy. This will take a minute. I can do Hebrew-English. I'll do Hebrew-English to make, in case people need the English version. Chapter 5. Okay, I'm going to put on a presenter screen, and hopefully this will be seen by everybody. We're going to test some new technology, and you guys will be here to see it. We're going to go to presenter mode, and we're going to start something. Okay. Someone tell me, Jay, tell me if you see if the screen came up with chapter 5 in Chumash.
Not yet. You came up, you moved the screen, but it hasn't come up yet.
Okay, it should be within 5 seconds.
It's there, it's up.
It's there, okay, good. Okay, so I'm going to read now. You should see my little marker there. I'm going to read now from the beginning of Vayikra Perakeh. For those who remember Sefer Dvarim, Perakeh, chapter 5 of Sefer Dvarim, begins a speech that Moshe Rabbeinu was about to tell the Bnei Israel that's going to go for 22 chapters. In the first line, Moshe calls, Vayikra Moshe al Kol Yisrael, Moshe calls on all of Israel and tells them, Shema Yisrael, he wakes them up in the beginning of his speech, Et ha-chukim ve-et ha-mishpatim asher anochi dover ba-otneichem hayom, ulmaratem otam ushmartem lasotam. He tells Am Yisrael, listen to the laws that I'm about to teach you, and you have to learn them and keep them. Now, after that opening statement, remember Moshe gathers the entire Israel together, and his first statement is, listen to all the laws that I'm telling you. Instead of beginning with laws, the next line Moshe says is, Hashem Elokeinu krat imanu brit b'choreis. Our God made a covenant with us at Har Sinai. And then he says that covenant was not just with our forefathers, it was for all generations. And then he goes on to the whole story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Then, in chapter 6, when Moshe begins the speech, he says this in Tzarek Aleph, now you should have another string coming up. The God commanded me back on Har Sinai, and he tells him to pay attention to all these laws. And the Pasuk Gimel, he says, listen to all the laws I'm about to tell you. And Pasuk Dalet is basically the first law of the speech, when he says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And therefore, the Hashem Elokeinu that he's saying in Pasuk Dalet in Tzarek Vav, the one that we're using, that's referring to Hashem Elokeinu, Klat Imanu Bit Bechorei from Tzarek Hei. It's Hashem Elokeinu means the God who made a covenant with us, or the God who chose us to serve Him. And then we have the mitzvah, Ba'atat Hashem Elokecha, B'chol Levavcha, B'chol Nafshecha. So I'm going to turn my screen off now. And okay. And we should be back to our regular setup. Okay, just want to make sure how that... Okay, it works okay, the screen? Okay, that's the first time we tested that in a live session. I hope it works okay. I have a better one coming up. Now, in essence, what's happening in Shema? Our opening statement is a quote from Moshe Rabbeinu's speech, which is all about keeping the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu, before he died, says, Hashem chose us at Har Sinai. He made a covenant with us at Har Sinai in order that we serve Him. And how do we know how to serve Him? What's the guide to serve Him? First, we have to accept that we're working for Him. But what's the guide for how to serve Him best? How do we become Avadim? We have a whole set of laws called Matan Torah, which are detailed, beautifully in Sefer Dvarim, where the very first mitzvah is going to be Avar Rabbah. That it's our commandment, we're commanded to love Him. And therefore the first law is going to be loving God, followed by a detailed set of laws of how we have to serve Him. And therefore the two brachot of Kriyat Shema are nice and simple. One is first coming to explain who is Hashem Echad, who is this God? And where in Chumash do we find out that there's only one God and not a lot of gods? There's a parak in Chumash that describes about Well, it appears to be many gods is one god. That's Perek Aleph and Breshit. And therefore, the bracha of Yosem Morot is built on the whole concept of one god, the god of creation, which is built on Perek Aleph and Breshit. And that's why there's so many allusions to that in the bracha of Yosem Morot. Now that we've established there's only one god, then we go and say that God chose us to work for him. Now, in the second bracha, which we're going to talk about now, we're going to see something very interesting. We're going to see something very, very interesting. Remember, after God tells B'nai Yisrael, after Moshe tells B'nai Yisrael in a speech, that we have to accept Hashem Elokeinu, our God is the only God, and we're commanded to love Him, and therefore it's our responsibility to love Him, what bracha do we make, what blessing do we make in preparation for that statement? How does it begin? With always with what word? Either Avat Olam Avtanu, Ava Rava, or Avat, it's all in Nusach Tzvar or Ashkenaz, or Ben Shachris and Ben Marv. It always begins with the word Ava Rava Avtanu, that God loved us. And it's so beautiful, because what are we saying? Even though it's our commandment to love Him, we're explaining that the reason why we're commanded to love Him is because He loves us. And our opening statement is, God basically chose us, and it was through God's love for us that He chose us. And this was the first statement. I'm going to switch screens now, and go to the bracha of Ava Rava. And as I'm switching screens, I'm going to explain what we're about to do. We're going to... we have to start the screen in a second. What we're going to do is we're going to see how the bracha of Ava Rava is not only explaining how God chose us, but also it's going to be requesting from Him, it's going to be a request from God to help us do a good job serving Him. And how to serve Him, and that's why it's going to replace what's called Birchat HaTorah. If you remember the halacha, if someone didn't daven, if someone didn't say the brachot of Torah in the morning, as he says, Ava Rava, it's enough. Okay. Now on your screen, you should have a copy of Ava Rava.
Not yet.
On your screen. And Jake, just tell me when it comes up so I know when I can start. Not yet. Did the screen move yet?
Not
yet. It's up.
Okay.
Yes,
now it's up?
Now.
I have it up.
Yeah.
But...
Okay. Now. And check my little highlighter. Okay. Okay. And do a little circle there, and hopefully you can see that there. See Ava Rava Avtanu? Is it nice and circled now? Okay. Now, what I want to show you, I want to divide this, our bracha that we say, Ava Rava, into different sections. The first part we're saying is, God loves us, and therefore He chose us. That's Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem chose us to work for Him. Then, over here, we're going to start with a special prayer. What are we asking God to do? Avinu Malkeinu, for the sake of our forefathers, right, who had faith in you, and you taught them the laws, etc. Therefore, continue to teach us, just like you taught them, teach us. And therefore, give us the ability, lavin, here, lavin, laskil, vishmor, lamod, lamed, vishmor, velasot, the kind of kodi v'etamu Torah Techa. What are we asking God to do? We're asking God, help us do a good job. Our guide for doing a good job is the laws you've given us. But in order to understand how to be a good servant of God, we're asking God, make sure that our study of the Torah, which is our guide for how to act, will be efficient. And then, v'hayrei neinu b'Torah Techa, v'dabekni neinu b'mitzvah Techa. Now, enlighten our eyes with Torah. V'yachen levavenu l'avar l'ruach shemecha. Basically, we're asking God, help us do a good job to help you. And then we finish with a request that God should bring us back to our land. Right? And because you can do all these different miracles. And then we say, so we'll highlight the Ke'atenu Malkeinu V'Shimcha Gadol Be'emet. Right? I'm sorry, I didn't do that good job of highlighting it. I just crossed it out. Sorry about that. I'll work at that better next time. But we're saying we want God to bring us closer to you in order that we can thank you and make your name one again. And then we say, Abokhe Ba'ma Yisrael Bihava. So let me go back now to our presenter screen, to our regular screen. Here we go. Let me go turn off the... One second. Turn off this thing here. There we go. Is the screen back to normal?
Almost. Halfway back.
Should we... What? Oh, here, okay, now we stop it. We're going to close it here. Okay. Now we're back to normal. Okay. Thing, it's going to work. Yeah, for next time we're going to do a whole PowerPoint. I want to make sure the simple ones work. But I think the order, I think the Brahana makes a lot of sense. First, we have to explain Hashem Elokeinu. He's our God. Okay. And then we have a Brah, and we make him the same as Hashem Elokeinu, and that's the Brahma Abba Abba. And even though we're commanded, why are we submitting Abba means love? I think it really means being chosen. I mean, Abba 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 that he chose us. Usually we translate Abba as love. But it's out of love that he chose us. I can say something, it may not sound so, but if we look at Jewish history, when people enter a relationship, it may not make that much sense, but they pick someone anyhow for that relationship, even though it might not, doesn't appear to be the best choice, it's usually a love relationship. If you want to know why did God pick the Jewish people, we're supposed, God picked us to do a job to make his name known in the world, and we're supposed to do a lot of good, we're supposed to keep his laws in the land, and we consistently have sinned throughout history, and God has to punish us a lot. If you want to understand why does God keep us and doesn't, you know, why is he still keeping up with this idea? We can say it's out of his love for us. In some way, it's a love relationship. So that might be, I think, that might be the Ahava side behind it. But we're saying it's out of God's love for us. He chose us and he gave us this job. And before we accept upon us the Ol Malchut Shemayim, the yoke of heaven, the two brachot are simply preparation for what we're about to do. Okay, this, I want to take a break for a second and see if there's any questions, make sure the main point was understood about Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Then we get to the Hafta part. What do you mean by mandate? I mean, you can't mandate someone to love you. I think that's exactly the problem of what's happening, is that God's telling us we have to love him, we have to have that attitude, and before he's about to say that we're going to work for him, And we have to love him with all our hearts, with all our soul, with all our might. We're saying first that it's out of God's love for us that he chose us. We want to make the relationship an equal one. Now you're right, it's hard to mandate something like that, but I think it goes back to a more basic question. That's why I want to use your question to go to part two, which is why I picked this topic to introduce the whole concept of tefillah in general. There's a big basic question of what's tefillah all about? What's davening? What's the main purpose? And usually we usually understand it as here's a time where we're asking God our needs. We as human beings have a lot of needs. We believe in God and we want God to basically help us out. Right? God's this great God, he can do everything. And we want God to give us health, we want him to give us prosperity, we want him to give us honor. We want to live a good life. We're in the pursuit of happiness. And because we believe in God and everything's in God's hands, we're asking God to help us out. And in fact, we'll even do a lot of mitzvot to help you out. I mean, we'll do a lot of mitzvot because you'll be nice and you'll help us out. That's one way to view tefillah. And we have to stay in our belief in God because we believe that God's able to help us out. That's one way to look at it. I think Shema is saying something almost the opposite. I think that's one of the main points in tefillah in general, is that we're not coming to ask God, oh, we have a lot of needs. The main thing we're coming to do is we're coming to say, I was chosen to serve you. My entire life, the reason why I'm existing, the reason why God gave me life was to serve him. And the essence of my life, I'm an Eved Hashem. Or like when God made man in Gan Eden, God made man in Gan Eden, L'Ovdav Hashemra, to work for him. Now God says, if you want to work for me, here's a set of laws you have to keep to get your job done. If you're serving me and it's your job to make my name known to all mankind, and by keeping God's mitzvot, bring what's called Kedushat Tevilah. We'll bring Shem Shemayim. We'll bring God's name and reputation, and we'll be a model nation that'll help God help bring God's things to mankind. Then twice a day we have to make this statement in recognition that who our boss is, that we're working for God, and then we're asking God, number one, help us do a good job, and number two, when we ask Him for things, we're going to ask Him, give us help so that we can join you. I mean, that we can serve you. We're asking, We're asking God, give us wisdom, give us understanding, so that we can serve you better. Give us health so we can serve you better. We're not saying we're davening, we're praying so that you can give us health. We're not saying we're praying to you so that we'd be prosperous. We're saying give us prosperity and give us health so that we can serve you better. And we're saying, we're not saying we're learning Torah so that you'll give us reward. We're saying we're learning Torah so that we'll know how to serve you better. And that's why I understand that the centrality of Shema Yisrael and davening and the brachot that come beforehand is not just something technical, it's something very basic about being Jewish. The first thing we do when we get up in the morning, we remind ourselves who we're working for, who our boss is, how and why we were chosen, and who our boss is. We're saying our boss is not just our personal boss. We're saying our boss is the God who created heavens and earth, who has expectations for all mankind. Then we're saying he chose us to work for him, and we're accepting upon ourselves his mandate that he wants us to work for him. We remind ourselves that he made a covenant with us at Har Sinai. We accepted that covenant, and for all generations, the Jewish people were chosen to serve him. And now that we so much identify with the job he gave us, then we're asking God, help us do a good job. And therefore, help us in our study of Torah, make sure it's fruitful and it's efficient, and that we understand your laws properly, and our study should match our actions. And then we're thanking him for doing the job. Now, when someone's working for someone, you can have two types of workers. You can have a worker doing it just for the pay. If you're running a company and you want to hire workers, you want to make sure they get the job done. There's two things you can do. You can either tell them, listen, for every output you give me, let's say a production line, let's say for every 20 items that you get completed, you get a bonus of another $50 or something. Your whole incentive for working for your boss could be, what's in it for me? What's my reward? That's one type of work. That's what that's an eved. That's to do avodah menat lekabel pras. Then there's another type of an eved who so much identifies with the job, he would do it even for free. He's not doing it to get rewarded. He's volunteering for the job, but he's doing it out of virtue. He thinks it's the right thing to do. Like when you're a teenager and you volunteer for important causes, saying this is the right thing to do. I love my job. I really want to do this because it's helping mankind. And it could be that your boss is going to pay you because, you have to make a living. Or it could be that he'll pay you, he'll reward you in the sense that he'll enable you to do the job better. But the main reason, you're not doing it for the sake of rewards, you're doing it for the sake of the job. And that's what we say in Pirkei Avot, El tu kavayinam shamshim et rabam menat mekabel pras. Don't be like servants who are serving God in order to get reward. Instead, tu kavayinam shamshim et rabam menat mekabel pras. You would do it even... You're not serving God just because I'm going to get reward for it. You're serving God because you think it's the right thing to do. Then you ask God, help me help you. So give me good health so that I can help you better. Give us rain at the right time of year so we can help you better. Or make our country successful so other nations will look up to us so that when we talk about your name, we'll be respected and appreciated before we talk about you. We can say a lot of things like that. And exactly, it's consistent, that's all Tfilah, not the Shema. But that's why Shema is so important. I'm saying, in Shemoneth we have the same idea, but sometimes people view Tfilah as, this is my time of day to ask all my requests from God. Some people view Tfilah as, here's, I believe in God, and He's all-powerful, and He can do everything, and I'm going to daven so that He'll help me. My goal is this pursuit of happiness, but I believe in God, and therefore I'm asking God to help me out. I'm trying to flip that around and say, it's exactly the opposite. It's not about what can God do to help me. I'm created to help God. I'm serving Him. And I simply want to be a good servant. And to be a good servant, I'm asking God to help me out. Now, to do a job like that type of relationship has to be based on love. Because if you're doing it only out of what's in it for me, that's not a love relationship. That's loving yourself, not the other partner you're working for. And therefore, our whole concept, we say in Shema, is we have to love God with all heart, with all... The first mitzvah that God gives us is, don't do it like a robot. Don't be a robot in your service of God. Do it because you care. It begins with loving God. And when we prepare ourselves to say that we're going to accept upon ourselves that we're going to work for Him, and our love of God, that and our mitzvah to love Him, we purchase that with a bracha of how much God loved us and how He chose us and how He had mercy on us to give us this job. We say something similar in Berachat HaTorah in the morning. Remember we say this Mishnah at the end? Am I taking the opposite proportion of the Rav? I'm not sure what the Rav's approach is on that. The Rav says something different?
Rav basically has...
What's the Rav say on that?
Al regalachat, that the whole goal of tefillah is to ask God for our needs. That's the... And in the book, you know, Worship of the Heart, that they published not long ago, that's his yesod in tefillah, is the asking of tracha. That's fine. Elu v'elu, but... I'm just saying, I think he has a diametrically opposite approach. But, okay, and I'm sorry.
Okay, okay. That's no problem. Like, I'll take a look at it. But I think in the bucket that we're saying, what I mean to say is that God chose us. He chose us to serve him. How do we serve God? The Torah is our guide for serving God. And because we're about to enter a full day of service of God, in the way we talk, the way we eat, everything we do in life, we're representing God. And we're asking God, help us do a good job of keeping your mitzvot. Tend to the ben ubinah, la'vin la'skil l'shmo l'mod l'amed l'shmo v'rach. So help us help you. And therefore, the statement is really one. We say, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem who is our God, that's the main statement. He's our God. But the Hashem who we're working for, he's the only God. And then we finish quoting the rest of Shema. Now, why Yisrael Morot is Hashem Echad? That has to do with Sarah Galah from Breshit, which would be a whole shir in Breshit, which we're not going to do in 2 minutes. Why we pick Avar Abba? Why that comes from Sefer Dvarim? Again, if we had time, which we'll do in the following shiurim, we'll see why Sefer Dvarim has all the laws. But the topic of the next year is going to be, what's this idea that we say right before the bracha, V'kiyatenu makinu v'shimcha gadol, to bring us closer to your great name. What's this idea of a name for God? But I'm going to show you in the next show, we're going to talk about Pesukei Zimra, where there's a very big concept of God's name, of making a name for God. Where that comes from, Chumash, the idea of making a name for God, which is going to be so fundamental to davening, like Kedavit Kedash Merabah, or Yehesh Merabah, or Yishtavach Shimcha. There's going to be a whole theme about God's name and making a name for God. In the next class, we're going to begin with that topic in Chumash, where it comes from in Chumash, the idea of making a name for God. And we'll do a lot more text in Chumash itself, and we're going to see how, in the first half of the show, we'll talk about how the name of God is a big theme in Sefer Bereshit, and then we're going to see that in the Siddur, especially in all the sections of Sukkot Zimra. We'll stop the share here, but to take questions for a couple minutes. For that, we'll leave last 5 minutes for questions. Our quick little discussion. You can either. Oh, you thought that? Okay. Jay's saying that maybe my approach isn't that different. I mean, I want to compare myself to the Rav, but I don't think he'd disagree with that. I think he's saying, if I understand what you're saying about the Rav correctly, he's saying that a person is always going to ask his need. A person's always a human being, he's going to want to have need. And a person has to make sure that he sees God as the source of his needs. So he needs a connection for God. We're touching on a bigger issue of what the goal in life is. Is the goal in life to serve God, or the goal in life to get to Olam Haba? And by God giving it, God gives us Olam Hazeh as a challenge, basically to get points for Olam Haba. So are we thanking God, the fact that we need to daven to get something for God, by God making us need him, that gives us a way to build a relationship with him. And if the whole goal in life is building that relationship with God, so we're thanking God for us needing to need him. That might be the idea. I'm behind it. Okay, any other questions? Okay, if there's other questions, you can either chat them or speak them.
Larry, you
want to
say something?
Next week we'll be back on at 12:30. Yeah, Jay.
I'm just going to say, I think Larry wants to ask a question, if I can tell.
Yeah, well, he's pressing his button. Larry, you got to press your button and then talk. Okay.
Hit transmit, Larry. Hit the transmit button and then speak up.
As far as the leader's question, there's two brachot before Shema at night. There's Mariva Ravim, which is also, it's the same as your Yisrael Morot, but because it's nighttime, we talk about how God changes from day to night, and we have Ava Rava as well. About Abu Cheba Moisir Abiyava. Right, unless you talk about Shema Alamita, that's something else. That's for a different reason, Shema Alamita. Avivi, understand? I hope. There's one behind there, too. Okay, Larry, you can, okay, Larry, you want to try again? Or you can chat it if you want.
Are you able to hear me?
Yeah, we hear you, Larry. Go ahead. Just keep talking.
Relates to this whole issue of ahava with the idea of master-slave relationship or with employer-employee relationship. It just is a little bit of a conflict to suggest that the relationship of love is a relationship of master-slave or employer-employee. Generally, a relationship of love is a relationship of equals or near equals or a relationship where one does not rule another. So I'm having trouble integrating what you're saying with the whole idea of what the message is in the Shema of the Ahavta.
Okay, you're asking more of a philosophical question. I'm trying to show you that the reason we say Ahavta and Shema is because the reason we say Ahavta Olam Ahavtanu is because we have a mitzvah of Ahavta Hashem Elokecha. After saying Shema, we say Ahavta, and at the next word in Chumash, I'm suggesting that the reason when the authors of the bracha of Arabah, when they wrote that bracha, they modeled after this idea that even though we have a mitzvah to love God, God's choice of us was His love for Him. But you're asking a more philosophical one about the whole relationship with God, like we say in Rosh Hashanah davening, either we're slaves or we're either kavadim or kabanim. A relationship with God, sometimes it's a master-slave relationship, sometimes it's a father-son relationship, parent-child relationship, but that's a question for philosophy class, maybe one of the other classes I'll have on. I was just trying to show you the textual side of it. Also for next week, as far as I can send the text by email, but the best thing possible for next week's class, if everyone can have a talk with them, that's always a rule of thumb in class. If you can just bring, I'm sure everyone has a tanakh or a chumash at home. If you can bring a full tanakh, if you need English Hebrew, get the English Hebrew one. But if you can always have a tanakh handy for class, that'd be a lot easier than things. And I'll have an email, a link to a website where you can download all the sources. Or if there's an email list to the shir, we can also download the, we can send it by email as well.
We are working on putting all the stuff on the web so in advance people can get, for example, Mark Shapiro's classes tomorrow night. I have a whole bunch of stuff on the website already for downloading, which we'll email people. But
okay, good.
One piece at a time. Thank you very much to everybody.
Okay. Okay, good night. Good night from Alonso.
Good night. Okay, and good day from here in Toronto and Boston and wherever else.
Also, for Aviva's question, Aviva's question was about the Shema and Mita. That's two separate things. There's a mitzvah to say Shema. The bracha mato is not a bracha on Shema. Bracha mato is a separate bracha that we say at the same time. But saying a mato and saying Shema aren't. The bracha of mato is not a bracha on Shema. It's a bracha by itself. Some people say, you know, some people don't say Mato. Some people just say Shema. There's an argument whether Shema Lamita is the main Shema or the Shmat Marva is the main Shema. That's the whole thing in Halakha to do. But Shema we say at night, and Mariv has two brachot before him as well. Okay, and hey, so I'm going to disconnect. Bye-bye.